Welcome to another Take Note podcast, episode 104. My name is Chris Harper. This podcast is a summary of one of our recent Take Note radio programs, which is heard weekdays on Harvest Family Radio Guam. Every day on that program, we discuss a theme or topic from the Word of God between songs. The podcast version provides about a 10-minute recap of one of our favorite programs, minus the music. Today we want to ask you to take note of Colossians 1, 3 through 17. The Apostle Paul speaks with the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae in today's passage. He gives thanks for their faith and their faithfulness. He assures them of his constant prayer on their behalf, and also reminds them of the wonderful blessings they have together in Christ. He does more than this near the end of the passage we'll address today, in a much more well-known passage of the text, and that is he reminds these believers of who Christ is and how he is actively working in the world today. We'll cover a lot of ground in these 15 verses, focusing on the topic spiritual understanding, which is a theme we find in Colossians 1, 3 through 17. This is a bit of an unusual section of scripture that I've chosen to examine today. Maybe other teachers covering this passage would have broken it up in a slightly different way. I chose verses 3 through 17 of Colossians chapter 1 because the themes, I think, are fascinating, and the flow of the letter is really interesting to me. We have a transition from goodwill towards the saints at Colossae to a declaration of Christ's deity and creative power, and I think these are instructive. I wanted to take a closer look today. So let's begin with a section just after the introduction of the book, Colossians 1, 3, and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. These are people who have trusted Christ as Savior, and it's become obvious to those who observe their lives. They're expressing their faith in a love for the brethren. Paul and Timothy have heard about this, and they've been consistent in their prayers for them. Paul goes on to describe what is behind their love for the saints, and he gives a bit more of their story. Colossians 1, 5 through 8. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As also ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Paul essentially says, your faith and love continue because you know what is waiting for you in heaven. And he says, this is the hope that you've had since you first heard the true message, the good news. So they're acting in their showing of love in accordance with who they are in Christ and what they know about their future in him. This good news is spreading throughout the world, and it's going to other places much like it came unto them. Through the words and testimonies of people like Paul's fellow servant, Epaphras, who came unto them preaching and ministering. And it's spreading as a result of churches just like theirs. Those churches that have understood the love of Christ and determined to show that love to others, not just by caring for one another, but by declaring the gospel themselves and by living according to Christ's commands. Again, Paul and Timothy have heard about this, and that's why they're praying. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. These believers were certainly showing the enthusiasm and the character needed to succeed. But Paul was also praying for their knowledge and wisdom, which would be needed so desperately too. He prayed that they would walk worthy of their calling, that they would please the Lord, and that they would be fruitful people, who were not only ministering to others, but also increasing in their knowledge of God. This is one of the points I find interesting, because Paul is also serving as an answer to his own prayer, in that he will help them to understand more about God in his writings to them, including in the last few verses of our section today. This is a tremendous prayer for new believers, or believers at any stage of growth, that they would increase in the knowledge of God, because it is knowing him through his word that strengthens our faith and increases our usefulness in him. Paul prayed for yet more in the lives of the Colossian believers in Colossians 1, 11, and 12. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. To do the work God had prepared for these Colossians, they would need to be strengthened. And this is the case for every believer in Christ. It is his glorious power that makes our ministry possible. Patience, it says here, long-suffering and joyfulness would also be needed. These, of course, are fruits of the Spirit. Paul also gives thanks, as another translation restates in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. As all believers, they would be joint heirs with Christ, and it was only Christ who had made this possible. Here's what Jesus had further done for them in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The only reason any of this was taking place was because of Jesus' work in their salvation, taking them from darkness into light, bringing them into God's family by his own blood shed on the cross, forgiving sins that could not have been forgiven in any other way, bringing redemption. Why Jesus? How could he do this? Well, that's where our last three verses come in. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So this Christ, who saved the brethren at Colossae, is the Creator, the very image of the invisible God, the one who created the earth and the heavens, that which is visible and invisible. Whatever power that is in the world, he has ordained, and he rules over those powers that he's ordained. He's before all things, and nothing is held together without his power. We're talking about the King over all kings, the Lord over all lords, eternal Creator, who has no beginning and will have no ending. This is the one Paul is praying that these believers will learn more of. Paul is praying they learn and embrace his wisdom, and that they become equipped by him to carry out their work, continuing to love the brethren and continuing to minister his light to others, who will also have the opportunity to come unto him for redemption. You've been listening to the Take Note Podcast. These few minutes together are brought to you by Harvest Ministries and KHMG on Guam. Our website is khmg.org, khmg.org. In every episode, we ask you to take note of a theme or topic from the Word of God. My name is Chris Harper. Thanks for listening.